It's exciting. I don't know if you understand how far God has brought us. That was the first time we've seen the children serve in our service since I've been here. Thank you to the children's ministry workers for their diligence. It's something about young people worshiping the Savior. It's something about their innocence that brings excitement, that shows that God's still working here. I want to give a huge thanks to our praise team that came out on Friday and helped with the FCA night. It was amazing to see God being worshiped in that arena, the gospel being proclaimed in that arena. And not only that, on the Jumbotron, you said, sponsored by Valley Baptist Church, even though we didn't sponsor anything. God is doing a work, and I am so excited. Josh, thank you. Kind of put Josh on the spot. It was my fault. I take full responsibility. But watching God work through the talent that's here at Valley, it's amazing. And it's truly humbling for people that, like, just say, yes, Lord, use me. And today I'm excited. I'm a grandpa. I know I don't look like one. But on December 3rd, we got an unexpected gift. He came a little early. I got a call early in the morning, about 8 o'clock on December 3rd. My wife says, Britt's getting ready to have the baby, and I have a meeting. Click. I'm like, wait, what? I couldn't even ask any questions. And then the next thing I see, a text says, it's an emergency C-section. I'm like, Lord, what does that mean? And so immediately, fear started coming over me. And when the fear came over me, I immediately started texting everyone I know, can you pray? Can you pray? Can you pray? Before I got done texting, I get this picture of my daughter holding my grandson. And I'm like, I go through all these emotions, and all of a sudden, here's joy and love. And I'm like, this is so amazing. I am so grateful for God's goodness. And if you have time, I'll share the long version of how God moved through that whole situation. But God pointed me to Luke chapter 2, where the shepherds, they got an announcement, and they showed fear. And their fear turned to joy. But this baby was not any other baby. This baby was the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me and see how this wonderful story of Christmas, and what I try to tell, the Christmas story is his story. And I get the privilege to listen to a lot of stories. I like to hear people's stories. And so I understand how to pray for you, number one. Then I understand where God's working in your life and how I can work with God. And so when I sit down, I'll ask, hey, Daniel, what's your story? And Daniel will start shaking his head. It's like, yeah, no. But part of that is you see how God has intersected his life and how God is working in his life. Because I think Daniel's one of those neat guys here in the church that most people don't know all about, but he serves so faithfully. And I think in the Christmas story, we're going to see a story of love. And in a time when our world needs love more than anything, amen? You see so much division. You see so much hate. And today, I want to equip us to share the greatest gift that's ever been given. Because you're going to have dinner with family and friends, amen? Some of them don't know the Savior. What better way than to share how God's working in and through your life and your story? Pray with me and then we'll jump in. Father in heaven, we come to this time where we're here to see you. We're here to listen to you. And we're here to obey all that is that you are saying to us. And so God, in these few moments, I pray that your Spirit would lead, guide my words. Help me to glorify your Son. Help me to tell your story. And help us to respond to your story in a way that brings you glory. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in Luke chapter 2, we're going to go through 8 through 20. Part of God's story is understanding God's love. And God's love, he initiates. He comes to us. And so if you'll look at with me with verses 8 and 9. The setting is Jesus has been born in Bethlehem. Mary gave birth. And now the angels are getting ready to spread the truth. It says, in the same region of Bethlehem, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flocks. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You see, when God's love comes to you, he meets you right where you are. They were out in the field as shepherds, doing what shepherds do, watching over their flock. And if I could use my imagination, it's them talking about, I wonder what the Ravens will do today. Which team will show up? Which Lamar will show up? And then all of a sudden, bam, an angel of the Lord appears and stood before them. You get this picture? You're having a God moment, and God intersects right where you are. And the Bible says the glory of the Lord shone around them. When you have an encounter with the living God of the Bible, you just cannot be the same. All his glory came down. These are angels that stood in his presence, and they just were terrified. They were like, is this the end of the world? Is everything over? Understanding God meets us where we are. I don't know what you're wrestling with today. On December 3rd, I was wrestling with losing my daughter. I was wrestling with losing my grandson. Some people in here are wrestling with health issues, loved ones that have health issues. I'm here to share with you, God meets you right where you are. He'll meet you where you are and allow you to see who he is so that he can carry you through wherever you are. God initiates. He loves us that much that he came down to us. And I say this all the time. What separates Christianity from all other religions, our God came down to us. all other religions try to figure out how to get up to their God. God came down to us to deal with us where we are and to help us. So I want you to understand God moves first. And this is the point, love doesn't wait for the perfect condition. I think a lot of times we wait for perfect. There is no perfect. God comes, and when he comes, he brings all his glory with him. I want you to understand the shepherds weren't searching for him. They weren't looking for him. College ministry, we've been going through Romans. Romans teaches us no one seeks after God. No one's good. No one's looking. It's not like the shepherds were in the fields like, okay, we're looking for you, God. They weren't looking. Those God moments that you have normally come when you're not even expecting God. God invades your world, and he shows you, I want to teach you something about my character. I want you to see something about me. And so he invades the shepherds. These are common people. He came and he shared that one of the biggest passages that touches my heart is in Romans 5. It says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for you. Understanding when you couldn't save yourself. You were helpless. You were like a little baby. And Christ came and died for us. But he died for the ungodly. God's love gives. It says in verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. You want to understand God's love. God's love is giving. We read before the service, John 3:16, one that we know all the time. We've heard over and over again, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And one of the things that I like about what Luke is helping us understand, that just that was prophesied by Micah in Micah 5:2, that a Savior would be born in Bethlehem. And this Savior is going to save the world from sin. I know, sin is not one of those topics we like to talk about, right? But the Bible talks about it. We all sin. Romans 3:23, we all sin, fall short of the glory of God, right? Every one of us. And God came to deal with that sin. He came to take our place so that we could be back in right relationship with God the Father. And so you understand that when you look at your debt, people that are in debt and in trouble financially, I don't need to tell you, you spend way too much. Do I? They already know they have debt issues. The problem is, our world doesn't know we have debt issues. We owe a debt to our Creator. You can't pay for it, David. I can't pay for it. Christ had to come down. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. Romans, this semester was an amazing semester studying Romans. So you're going to hear me quote nothing but Romans today, because that's all we studied in Grace Life. And it's been resonating in my heart, because I believe we dummy down sin. We make it like, I just made a little mistake, or it was just a little boo-boo. Or, this is the one I used to use, rephrase. It's just a little white lie. I didn't want to hurt them. I didn't want to. But do you know that little white lie sent Jesus to the cross? That was part of the debt that I owed, that I could not pay. And so God's love shows, go back to Luke chapter 10. He's giving us a Savior, but I want you to see, today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you. For you. For you. He's talking to the shepherds. It's in the plural in the Greek, for y'all. It's all of you. But the point is, God wants a personal relationship with you. A Savior was born for you. He wants it personal. But you have to learn, you can't save yourself. And so we understand that God's love shows that He didn't come in a palace. If you're thinking of a king or somebody great, significant, you'll find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth lying in a manger. In other words, in a stable. I don't know about you, in my mind, I don't know that I think a Savior is coming in a stable. Roy, I would have troubles. If I was a shepherd, if I'm going to be honest, I'm like, really? If you told me the temple, I'd be like, okay, now we're talking. Or if you told me he was in the palace, I would be, okay, that's kingly. But he came very humbly. And he came in such a way that they could not miss it. So understanding God's love is not defined by extravagance, but humility. Understanding that God's love, the gift, is not just about our comfort, but it's about Christ our Savior. I think a lot of times we look at it and say the greatest gift, and it's supposed to be comfortable. He's coming to create something new in you. And so if he creates something new in you, he's got to do a renovation. How many people have ever renovated anything in your house? That is like the worst time, amen? You look around, there's dust everywhere. And you're like, you look at the contractor and say, how much longer? Oh, not too much longer. And you're a month and a half in dust, pulling out everything. If you have a wife like I do, she's one of those to the point, and she looks at me and says, can you get me a date when this will be done? I'm like, Lord. And I go, nicely. Hey, Mr. Willie, do you know when you'll be done? Oh, when it gets done. I was like, Willie, you're not helping me. Do you know I have to go back and report? God wants to do a renovation in your heart the same way. He wants you to understanding everything that he's pulling out of you needs to come out. But he's going to put some new, beautiful things. He gives us his love that we can spread to everybody. understanding every renovation is not a bad thing. But most people want to get to the end. That's the same thing in our journey of faith. As God's pulling things out of you, He's putting stuff in you. My question is, how are you using those gifts? How are you being loving to those that He's put around you? So God's gift, God's love, He initiates. God's love, He gives. God's love is for all. Look at what it said in verse 10. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" All the people. All the people. Understanding that they were delivering a divine message to shepherds that it's getting ready to be a great time. But I think when you look at John 3:16, it's that invitation that says, "For God loved the world in this way, He gave His only one and only Son, that everyone who believes," everyone who believes "in Him will not perish but have everlasting life." And so we need to understand that the invitation is for everyone. And so the shepherds are getting this divine revelation from angels that says there's a Savior born. And not just the Savior, there's going to be joy because it's for everyone. And the next point is God's love saves. God's love saves. God's a Savior, not just a symbol. I see so many symbols of crosses everywhere. Remember how I tell you I like to hear stories? I ask people, "What does that cross mean? Is that not an open door for the gospel?" Depending on what they say. A lot of people have tattoos of crosses on their arm. Praying hands. Have you ever asked somebody, "What does that mean?" That's a good way into another gospel conversation. I think a lot of times we like to lead with what we want to lead with. You know what I learned over the time? People like to talk about who. All you have to do is lean in. See something that they have, ask a question. Now, if you ask me a question about my grandson, you better wait for about an hour and a half, because I have pictures for days. And I'm going to talk. And you're going to be like, "Excuse me, I got to go." I'm like, "One more thing. Let me say one more thing." The reality is, when you're at home this Christmas with your family and friends, learn to talk to them about them, right? Then look for that opportunity and say, "Can I share something with you about what my God did for me?" You understand, too many times we are quick to speak, but the Bible tells us to be slow to speak, quick to... You know, I was in counseling for a little bit, Roy. I'm married, and so we went through counseling. We went through a rough shot. You know what the guy told me? "Barry, you need to learn to listen." Thought I was a good listener. "You don't know. Why are you shaking your head?" She can shake her head, but you can't. I give you this example. My wife, when we go to celebrate something, I like to go to places that have TVs. Don't laugh. I was in therapy, remember. I'm a big sports guy. So if it's a Saturday, a game is on somewhere. My wife has learned I can't face the TV. Because if I face the TV, she doesn't believe I'm listening to her. Cody, I am. I hear every word she says, Cody. But it's something about that undivided. When you love somebody, wives, shake your head. You know when your husband is just nodding. Because I'm going to tell you, we have in my house what's called business meetings. I don't like business meetings. Because at some point, she runs down a whole list of things that was supposed to happen. No, don't do that, Ellen. You're supposed to have sympathy for me. Okay. Hey, Mike, we're going to hang out. But what happens is she starts showing things that I said I would do that I didn't do. How many people like to have your stuff exposed? It's not a good feeling. It's like, I thought you loved me. I just took you to dinner. We just had a good time. Now it's business meeting time. And then I said, you know what? At some point, I've got to face my shortcomings. That's each person in here. At some point, you've got to face that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. And when God shows you the truths about who you are, our job is to repent. Turn from what we're putting our trust in and put our full faith in who He is and what He's done for us. So love demands a response. We have two responses and then I'm done. Heaven responds first. You'll see in verses 13 and 14. Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts from with the angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to people He favors. You see, the angels didn't go to Bethlehem. They just lifted their voices in worship. They just responded to the truth and worshiped and gave God praise, gave God glory. They immediately understood that the gift that was being given was for God's glory. For us to recognize that from beginning to end, salvation is God's plan. I think sometimes we get mixed up in the Garden of Eden and we make God he had to respond to what Satan did. Revelations tells us that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. There was a plan for him to come and to die for us. He did not respond to what was happening. He already had the plan. And I think the angels were saying, wow, God has come down and took on flesh. Not only flesh, but came as a baby. And you understand this baby, I'm in a baby mode. I was in the NICU for about 6 days with my grandson. There's babies everywhere. You know those nurses in there aren't very nice? Well, no, pause, to people that try to get in. It's like, that's mine over there. That's my grandson. It was like, where's the mother? Oh, she's the little one. That's mine. Look at us. We look alike. They were protecting. And I was like, wow, that's just like, that's too much. I looked at how they protected them, and I think about how Jesus was in a manger, unprotected, lying in a feeding trough. And the heavenly angels are coming to just give him praise because he was getting ready to do what no one else could do. And then they say, peace. He's redirecting what our society will look like. At one point, you are enemy of God. Now he's brought you close to be at peace with God. So no matter what happens in your life, if you're a believer in Jesus, you have hope, you have peace, you have joy, because he did what no one else could do. Hold on to those truths, because life gets hard. Life gets real hard. And people without hope, I don't know how they make it. But I know I have a Savior. The Bible says he's preparing a home for us. I don't know about you. I can't wait to get home. You know, in the land of no more sin. No more doctors. No more bad knees. No more back pain. No more worrying about, will somebody steal something from me? It's a time of joy. Evermore. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But if I go to prepare a place for you, here it is, I'm coming back for you. That's our hope. All of us that are in Christ, that he's coming back. And he's going to receive us to himself. Some of us may have loved ones that have gone on before us. Can I tell you, they are much better than we are. I am not suicidal, so don't call anybody. But I'm not afraid. I want to see my Savior. I want to worship him. I want to give him all the praise. That's what Christmas is about. A Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, came to redeem us. And heaven is worshiping. And the shepherds, let's look at them. Their response, 15 through 20. When the angel had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message. They were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart, meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, heard, which were just as they had been told. You see, the shepherds, they immediately went. They go. That's faith. They see. They share. They glorify God. That's our challenge today. Will you go? and share. And praise God for the results. I think a lot of times we think we have to save people. There's only one Savior. I should have got an amen from everybody. There's only one Savior. But he's called you to go share. Share what that Savior has done in your life. Share how that Savior has changed your affections towards him and not towards the things of the world. In Sunday school, we're gonna develop our stories. So don't leave me today. Because we're going to tell our stories this Christmas season. We're going to share Christ in a way that everyone can understand that he is real by how he's working in your life. But did you notice how Mary was treasuring these things, meditating on them in her heart? Her response, Mary has been getting so much good news. And all she could do was ponder them, meditate on them. And I think that's a word for each one of us. Understanding heaven responded with worship, earth responded by faith, and God's love changes everything it encounters. Understanding God loves changes everything that it encounters. It reminds me of Ephesians 5:1. It tells us to be imitators of God as dearly loved children. And in verse 2 it says, walk in love. Walk in love. I think we, as a body of believers, if we can walk in love, I think we'll see a transformation in our sphere of influence. Because if you understand how God loved you, how many people know God was patient with you? How many people know God was so kind to you? Those are two things that 1 Corinthians 13:4 says love is. How many people know that God kept no records of your wrongs? I'm a receipt guy. I got receipts for days. I'm so glad God doesn't keep my receipts. So if we're going to love every day forward, make sure you let your receipts go, recognizing that Jesus paid it all, past, present, and future. So receiving the gift. Remember when my grandson was born? It was unexpected. I did nothing to earn him. I did nothing to deserve him. I just simply received him. And that gift has changed my life. Do you know how many people I haven't talked to in a long time? I sent a text, I'm a grandfather. Some people are like, who is this? It's like, don't worry about it. I'm a grandfather. Think about what I did with my grandson. Think about what we would do if we talked about, I'm a child of God. Jesus loves you. And so in Sunday school, we're going to challenge you to send that text. Because that joy that I had of being a grandfather doesn't compare to being a child of God. It does not. And so often we've allowed the world system to kind of shrink us back to being deflated because I can't buy the latest Xbox. The greatest gift that was ever given is free. but it cost him his life. Valley. The challenge is not just knowing, because the gift has already been given, the invitation is open. The question is not, do you know the story of Christmas? The question that we should be asking is, have you received the gift? Because when God's love is received, it is never contained. It leads to worship. It brings peace, and it transforms life. So this Christmas, will you share that gift with somebody in your life? Father in heaven, we thank you that you gave your one and only Son, that he would die a horrific death for people who were not looking for him, for people who were enemies. But yet and still, he came to seek and to save the lost. And so, God, I pray this season, God, that we would have the joy of the good news that a Savior was born, the Messiah, the Lord. And God, that you would empower us to share that with those that you bring across our path. Help this to be a season of joy and peace. We ask you all this in Jesus' name.